As I was saying, we do these every 2 weeks. We're on about the eighth one of this cycle, and we're talking to our exemplary grantees, different going around the country, talking to people who have different models to set up these job training programs. Later around grant time, we start talking about some of the criteria that are used. Someone just joined?
Oh, yeah, this is Roberta Tahani from ITEP in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Okay, great. Around grant time, we talk about issues related to some of the criteria they use in evaluating these grants. It so happens that what it takes to be a good grantee and run a good program is pretty much what EPA looks for when they evaluate the grants. We always start these off with kind of a news from Washington, and Glow, if you want, because you're sick, I can handle that. How do
actually,
you
feel? Okay. I feel fine. I just don't sound good, that's all. I did talk to Joe Bress this morning from headquarters, mainly to ask him if the release of the next job training RFP was going to be delayed now because of the shutdown. And he did say that, yes, it was going to be delayed. He said it's going to, and I'm reading right from his email, it will be at least a month before it's released, if that. So my guess is they originally were planning for October or November. So my guess is that's going to probably be December or January. I don't know, Mike, what you think about that.
It's not unusual, even when they don't have shutdowns. last year was February before they got it out. And so I would say probably January. Unfortunately, sometimes they issue this right at Christmas time, which is a terrible time to release it. They delay it, and then of course Joe doesn't have a lot of control of when it goes out. They write the RFPs, and then of course people in Joe's office, they look at it and they send it up, and the legal and the grants office changes things, and then when the grants office decides they're going to release it, then they just release it, and then he finds out, you know, after it's released or shortly after that. So he kind of gives us an idea when he's sent it up to grants, but it's usually delayed after that. So it's, I would say, probably in the first of the year would be when it'll be, and usually it'll probably be a month and a half to submit it. But what we suggest to people who are going to submit grants is you want to start building your coalitions early, because that does take time. And we usually start our calls orienting them way in advance so we could start talking about those grants. One thing that came up last week were questions about progress reports for any of the people who have grants now. Question is, what do we do with the shutdown? And of course, Glow had a great answer for that. Was basically she did the progress report and sent it in, and so it was postmarked so that it was there on time. And we suggested just people just go ahead as usual, send in your progress reports. They are concerned. They're very sticky about making sure you get your progress reports in. I don't think anyone will be penalized if they're late this time, but just good procedure is to get it in there and get it postmarked.
And I did confirm with Joe this morning that he did receive it, so they are getting their mail.
Good. And for any grantees, just it's always good to just, if you have a grant, just send it in and get it documented when you send it in. And it's always good to make sure there was confirmation that it was received, because they do look at that when you reapply for grants. The only other announcement I would say would be a meeting that's coming up in December. For those of you who are involved in OSHA, and all of us are, there's a National Council for Occupational Safety and Health that's going to be in Baltimore on December 11th and 12th. There's an early bird registration. I'll put this all in the post-session notes. If you register before November 8th, it's $175. And then the rooms which include all meals and parking and some internet, are $147 a night. But this is strictly, it's not an EPA sponsored, it's a OSHA sponsored, but they're going to go over all of the OSHA regs and health and safety. So I'll put information and links to that site for anyone who thinks that they may be able to get to Baltimore on the 11th and 12th. As I had said earlier, what we're doing this cycle is we're having our grantees talk about their programs and what they're doing. And we've been comparing them. We've got all different models, different types of models that different people have used. And it's interesting to see what the different people do and how they recruit, how they link their programs to bigger programs. And for those that have new programs or are thinking of starting a program, this is a good introduction of how you may want to organize your program. And this week we've got Tim Widgers and Amy from Nye County Communities Coalition, and I'm going to let them take this over and talk about their program and how they recruit and what they've learned. They received a grant in 2008 and did a great job and resubmitted and got another one in 2012. And it is difficult to when you get a grant, it's not a slam dunk that you're going to get another one. You really have to perform well. About half the grants have been given to of 10 or 12 grants out of 65 applicants, usually about 5 are given to reoccurring grantees and then 5 new ones, so 5 or 6 new ones. So they've obviously done a great job. And, Tim, I want to congratulate you on your good work. And I'm just going to turn it over to you and Amy.
Okay, and I think we're going to start with Amy.
Okay.
Yep, this is Amy Fanning from Nye County. I'm actually the Nye County Grants Administrator and also the Project Manager for this program. Just a little bit of history on Nye County and Brownfields programs. We've been actively involved in the Brownfields program since 2002 when we got our first assessment pilot grant. That resulted in us receiving another grant in 2005. Since the county is creating this list of identified contaminated sites that need to be cleaned up and or be redeveloped. So what's the next step? Let's get a job training grant. As we got our first grant in 2008 and also the first one ever awarded in Nevada for a job training grant from EPA. Out of this program, 191 residents completed orientation, 81 were chosen for the program, and 69 graduated. At the beginning, 52 were unemployed. At the end, 52 were employed, with an average rate of $15.53 per hour. In 2011, Nye County received a 5-county coalition assessment grant, and this was its first of its kind as well because it crossed state lines into California. So in 2012, we decided it's time to go out for another job training grant, and we awarded the second one, still the only entity in Nevada to ever receive a job training grant from EPA. And this was based off the 5-county coalition assistance grant, and also do the high employment in Nye County. An exciting part is as of October 1 of this year, the county now received a 4-county coalition revolving loan fund grant. This now gives potential developers and others an opportunity to borrow money that traditional banks would not loan at a low interest rate to be able to clean up properties that have been previously assessed. So what Nye County does, rather than facilitate the program in-house, we procure that out. So we procure for the actual program and job training coordinator to facilitate the criminal students, check their progress during the required period, work with employers, and this year we selected Nye Communities Coalition for many reasons. One, they offer training services already to under and unemployed people, and they are also able to leverage their soft skills training programs with the Brownfields Job Training Program to help the students achieve greater success. Yes, now I'll hand it over to Tim to talk about how he does his recruitment, tracking, et cetera.
Well, I'm not near as structured and organized as Amy is, but I'll just kind of go through it and be glad to take any questions. So
Now the grant, it was given to Amy's group, and then did
correct. So the grant went to Nye County, Nevada, and then the county chose to look for somebody to deliver the training, and we were one of the applicants to the county, and then our organization was selected.
So and their model, Your model is basically the county applied, which is an often, it's done in several, Durham has done the same thing. And they're the fiscal agent, and they've got all the resources for administering the grant. But then now you're in charge, basically, of getting the job done. Is that?
Yep. So, So we report to Amy, and but we are also our coalition. There are a number of coalitions in the state of Nevada that work in the areas of drug, alcohol, tobacco, wellness, and some other things. But we also have the youth and adult workforce programs under our umbrella. So we are just like basically any other job center in the country. So we have access to those programs, and again, we're working with employers, and we have those soft skill workshops on a regular basis. So we were able to make that part of our proposal to the county, which is, I believe, is one of the reasons that they chose us to deliver the programming. So we are kind of in the middle of the program delivery right now. We're doing three different cohorts of about 25 or so participants in each one. Our first group actually graduated at the end of September, and we're about a third of the way through the second group right now. So as far as recruiting participants, first of all, for people that are not familiar with Nye County, Nevada, our location is about an hour west of Las Vegas. It's a very large and very rural county, about 44,000 in the entire county. Amy and I are based in Pahrump, Nevada, which is about 36,000-38,000, depending on who you talk to, of that 44,000. And the county is probably over 200 miles north to south. So we have a concentration in the southern corner, southwest corner of the county, but we're serving the entire county. So we have some very rural, even frontier areas that we're serving, that Amy and I work within. So as far as recruiting participants, we have a great relationship with local media, and we're able to promote it through news releases within local TV, local newspapers, locally owned radio. We have numerous committees that our coalition is part of, and I think we still have about a dozen or so seats open for our third group, and we closed the deadline for applicants on that last Friday, and I think we have 32 or 35 applicants for about 10, 12 openings. So we will end up with about 120, 125 applicants in its entirety for the program. So our process is that, of course, they have to be over 18. They have to be a Nye County resident. They have to don't have our form. I'm assuming this is typical around the country as far as the requirements, but
usually it's drug-free. Well, it's interesting. Now, what about ex-offenders? I looked at your material, Tim, and now probably driver's license. I expect in your county you'd need that.
Yeah, but, so we do have eligibility as a Nevada resident, even better if they're from Nye County, which I think everybody has been so far, 18 years or older, high school diploma or GED, physically able to participate in the training. And then we actually have them sign a statement that they're committing to attending every hour of every course. And, yes, drug testing. So our first process is they pick up and complete an application. The next step is they move on to an interview process. It's a relatively short process, but part of it is, can they follow instructions? Do they show up on time? Do they dress appropriately? We ask them to consider this just like a job interview. And then we go through, and we have a panel of three, and I'm part of that interview everyone. We score everyone, and then those that are chosen that are able to commit to the training schedule, we let them review it and say, yes, I can participate in that. And then comes drug testing. And we stress the drug testing at every level. Just like any other testing process, there's a zero tolerance. Backing up to your offender question, yes, we do have a couple of offenders in the program. So as long as the drug test is not an issue for them, they know that they may have some limitations. as far as employment goes, but one of our case managers with our adult workforce program is trained to work with offenders. So she's has the education and experience to work with them on some of the additional challenges that they may or may not have. They're selected again, once the drug testing results come back, we move forward. We actually did not do it for our first one. I learned from our first group, but just a few days before we start, we now do a class meeting, a mandatory class meeting, and literally go through the schedule day by day so that everybody has kind of getting everybody in the same place at the same time for the same conversation, that they understand the schedule and the expectations, and that has helped. Some of these people, and I'm sure other participants around the country are seeing this, we're having people that haven't been in a classroom setting in decades. And they're acting just, in some cases, they act like the middle and high school students that we may, know or have ourselves. So we have to deal with a little classroom drama from time to time. But nothing we can't handle. But a lot of people aren't used to the structured classroom setting. We do require part of the soft skills that Amy was talking about is we have kind of an overall, we call our workforce program Career Connections, and we have an orientation for that that just kind of sets out the training and the opportunities that we have to assist them in their job search. So that's the first one that we have. We also have a resume writing and dress for success class. So we really, the resume part is obvious. The dress for success is really, we have a clothes rack and go through what's appropriate for different outfits, for different types of job interviews. And we also maintain a professional clothes closet. So somebody that is looking for employment or has been able to secure a job interview, if they don't have appropriate clothing, they can come to us and get an outfit or two at no cost. So that's, a benefit to job seekers and program participants. And then our third one is work readiness, which gets into mock interviews and some additional soft skills and things of that nature. So we have everybody that's going into the Brownfields training program takes those classes up front so that they have a good base. They understand additional services that we might be able to provide. And also through that funding, when participants are in training, if they have the financial need, which most of them do, most of them have been unemployed, we're able to provide gas vouchers so they can put a little gas in their tank to get to class. So that's one of the ways that we've been able to leverage other funding to benefit this program.
Who gives you those? Does that work through the WIB, or is that?
Yep. Yes, it is. That's where the dollars come from, through the Workforce Investment Act. So we're the county recipient to deliver that programming. But yes, that is the Workforce Investment Board, which they call Workforce Connections in Nevada. But it is that funding. Yes. And then as far as, and I just kind of went through the questions that were put out in the email, as far as placement, our first group just completed. We were able to take the courses that were part of the grant that the county received and were able to talk with regional and our county employers. We have a solar plant under construction in the northern part of the county, which actually puts them about 165, 170 miles from us right now. That'll be open or going online next year. Locally, we have a small propane company that's getting ready to add some to build out their workforce as they grow. We have some gold mining in the county and in the state, so we were able to talk to those types of businesses on what certifications made sense to them, what would make somebody more employable, and the MSHA, the mine safety, is part of our program based on that. confined space entry as part of our program based on those conversations. So we were able to kind of regionalize it for certifications that employers in our area were going to be looking for and would see an advantage for an applicant to have upfront. So placement is really just getting launched right now, but going into it, we knew that we were going to have some opportunities with some of these employers when the participants were coming out of the training program. Let's see. And then I actually work on the employer side of Career Connections here, so I've been continually educating employers about the types of training. We have our electric co-op in town is aware of it, and they had some input as well. So that's part of my position is to continually educate employers on the benefits of this training. We also offer a monthly job fair in our location. We're actually leasing a former elementary school campus, so we have basically the equivalent of their cafeteria or gymnasium. So we have a large room that can accommodate, you know, 300, 400, 500 people. And since our last group graduated, we actually do a name tag for everybody coming in the door, but we do a special green dot on their name tag for Brownfield training participants and have educated employers on what that means. So it's a chance for them to kind of stand out a little bit. That has worked out pretty well. As far as I'm looking at difficulties with the program, our biggest surprise was that when it came to the trainers themselves, we had some difficulty finding asbestos and lead-based paint instructors, which we have secured now, but that was very challenging for us. And I think when we went into it as a coalition, we thought that we'd be able to get the majority of our trainers from one or two firms out of Las Vegas, and that just did not work out that way. I think with high unemployment, even some of these firms had staff cuts, and we actually have instructors coming from either 10 different organizations or, and I guess I'm putting government in that pool as well. So we weren't able to, for example, I wasn't able to say, hey, Amy, I have all these courses. Who can we get? Let's figure out how much it's going to cost and sign a contract. Instead, we're chasing 10 different entities around. To develop schedules. So because of that, scheduling on the front end has been a real challenge. But we were able to make it work. Our goal going into this was to have one of the three cohorts for kind of the underemployed that might be working during the day and start like at 4 o'clock and go until 8 to 10 at night with some Saturdays, kind of that hybrid of a schedule. We were only able to get halfway there. Some of our trainers were just unwilling or unable to accommodate that late afternoon, early evening Saturday, or there was no way we could afford what it would cost to have them do that. So we've been able to go about halfway on that. We do have some employers, some of the few people that are working and taking this. We have one in particular that's being flexible with people's work schedules so that they can attend class during the day when they need to. So we're pretty excited about that. And then I mentioned it earlier that we just have it may be behavior issues is a little bit strong, but some personality issues. Just, you know, I'm not sure about other, you know, I was in Arlington in Virginia when Amy was there, and I know some of the programs in the country are extremely strong, and they have a large pool of candidates to choose from. You know, we don't. We probably have people range. Well, I know we have people that are 18 to in their 60s. Some where they have had a very entry level job to. Some that have worked in hazardous material and safety for decades before but found themselves downsized or unemployed and may have some expired certifications. So the experience level of our participants is very wide, very, very wide. And we just as far as these behavior issues that I was talking about. We just deal with them, and it hasn't been a problem.
Hi, Tonda.
Let's see. Am I still here?
Oh, yeah.
We're okay, good,
here.
Good.
Yep.
One of the things that we've talked with internally is that we have sent people to training through our WIA dollars, and that's kind of on a one-on-one basis. I mean, for example, we're assisting people right now with truck driving school, pharmacy tech, CNA, manicurist, you know, a number of different things. But this is the first time that we have been part of having a larger group, part of an organized effort. So we have learned from that, but see, this is an opportunity for us going forward with whether it be EPA or the county, or if there's other opportunities down the road relating to healthcare or whatever, we see this as a great learning experience for us as well, that we can do larger group training going forward, and I'm really excited about that part of it.
Your model is a lot like Clover Park, isn't it? You guys see some similarities. Not that you're rural, but they've got a similar situation where they're working with the county and working with WIA dollars and coordinating. It seems like that model seems to work for both of you.
Yeah, and Amy might have some more information on that. I know that we're working real closely with the county. Our advisory board is actually meeting next week, our Brownfields advisory board. So I'll be going to that. And, of course, Amy will be there as well as some of the other key players that have been part of getting this up and running. And I think it'll turn out to be a very successful program. One of the things I have done, because there's always a handful of people, well, there's actually more than a handful of people that keep asking, how is it going? How is it going? What's going on? You know, we've had great success with the HazWhopper course, where we are partnering with, definitely with Amy's assistance, with the Nye County Emergency Response Team. So we've actually been able to do kind of a pretty full hazardous disaster mock event on our campus, where we'll have a number of students will get all dressed out, with the exception of respirators, but they're getting gloved and they're going through the whole process. So we actually have county employees that are fully outfitted and going through the process. So it really works out to be a great capstone experience for that course. And we did that course for our second group last week, and it worked out really well. We are doing one online course. Otherwise, everything is face-to-face. We're doing the OSHA 10 online, and we have a computer lab right on campus, so everything is taking place at our facility. So, but what I have done is I actually am doing kind of a one-page snapshot month by month of how things are going. And I'd be more than happy to share. I know I sent them off to somebody yesterday.
Right.
I didn't know if that was appropriate to share those or not. But it's been a piece that I think has worked out well will work well for our advisory board. It works well with our coalition board. You know, anybody in the country, I think that it's kind of a one-page snapshot of what's going on. And it's been received pretty well.
Tim, you've got one of the more difficult challenges of the grantees over the years is rural and Native American have been very difficult, and EPA recognizes that. And I think you nailed it when you said when you're in an urban area, you do have a lot to draw from, and your vetting process can funnel down, you know, from 1,000 to 20, and you can be extremely picky. And in your case, not only on the recruitment side, but on the placement side,
right?
You have incredible challenges, because the other thing is, and Native American and tribal programs have the same problem. You want them to stay in the community, but if the jobs aren't in the community, it revolves that they may end up leaving the community. So it's
right.
Almost like you're shooting yourself in the foot there. And you've really got an admirable program. Anyone have any questions of how Tim is handling his program and Amy, how they relate? It sounds like you've got this great model between you working with the WIB and working with the county and mm-hmm. getting as many benefits for your participants as possible. That sounds great. Great model. Anyone out there have any questions? Tim? I think that you've done a great job, and I understand why EPA is supporting your program. And now your coalition, too, is much larger, isn't it? This is, and the way you did this was you already had the coalition.
Correct.
And then you decided to add the environmental component.
Right. I mean, we were already doing, you know, we were already operating our youth and adult workforce programs, and this was just a great complement to it. So as far as our coalition, I've taken the lead on this project, so I'm kind of the Amy of the coalition side of things. So if we have, you know, we've recruited the instructors, I communicate with the instructors, some of which are actually from the county or the state of Nevada, some are from private firms. And the day-to-day drama.
Mm-hmm. Which, I think everyone has that. And, of course, one thing that also stood out to me is how you were able to get gas money out of WIA. That's pretty mm-hmm. cool. That is very cool.
Well, and that's one of the challenges, and that is a challenge in Pahrump, and it's hard for people from larger cities to understand. We have no public transportation, no buses, no taxis, you know, high unemployment, and the valley that Pahrump lies in that most of our participants come from is about 28 miles long and about 8 miles wide, and it's kind of spread out between that. Our location is kind of in the center, but if you're getting around on a bicycle or walking, and we have participants walking to class. We have participants taking their bicycles to class. Just getting here is a challenge. I mean, This program is providing an educational opportunity that some of these people would never, ever get any other way.
That is awesome. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, listen, so we're anticipating some really great success stories down the road here a little bit.
I expect, and keep up the good work. And we try to keep these down to 30 minutes. So, I assume anyone has any questions that either reads these notes or listening to the call or the MP3 can give you a call about anything specific that we might be mentioning. Is that okay, Tim?
Absolutely. Not a problem whatsoever.
Great. Well, listen, thanks again for mentoring us and telling us about your program. And we're going to meet again on the 6th of November in 2 weeks, and we'll be talking to another program. So, well, listen, everybody have a great day, and thanks, Tim, and thanks, Amy, for giving us a briefing on your program. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can we get
thanks.
Tim's email address so I don't have to dig out my notebook?
Yes, we will.
Sure, for the first time in my life, it's an easy one. It's Tim, T-I-M, at NYECC.org.
Thank you.
Give us your phone number, too, in case we want to call you.
Sure. It is 775-727-9970. You can just ask for Tim. I'm the only one here.
And Tim, obviously, has written a killer grant, so anyone on call or listening to these notes, you might pick up some helpful hints, particularly if you're a rural brownfields. EPA likes to have rural grantees because it is the toughest one, and you've nailed it too, and you're doing mine safety, and I noticed you got bloodborne pathogens,
yes.
which is interesting, which gives
yep.
you a lead into hospital potential.
Yeah, and as far as grant writing questions, that's really Amy's forte. She was the one that wrote the grant.
Okay, I'm going to put both your emails in the post-session notes, and those will go out on Friday probably, so we'll do that. Okay.
Yep, glad to answer anything.
I just want to say thank you, Mike, for this opportunity. We're honored to speak about our program today. Obviously, Tim's very passionate about it, and Nye County's very passionate about it, and it is a great program, and we thank EPA for giving us this opportunity.
Absolutely.
You guys do awesome work. So you guys take care, and we'll hopefully talk to you all on the 6th. Have a great day now. Okay. Thanks again.
Thanks very much.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.